our Bible reading because we have to, but because we want to, and we want to really understand and seek to understand. There are a lot of reasons, I think, why somebody might come to a Bible study or might want to read their Bible. Maybe they do that out of obligation because they feel like they have to. Maybe they do that because they think it's the right thing to do, or everyone else is doing it. Everyone's going to be there, and so I should come to Bible class. Or, you know, I want to come to try to help teach and encourage and share information. And those are, I think, valid reasons to be involved in a Bible study. But one of the motivations that I think we need to have from what Jesus is showing here is we want to come and study God's Word and be exposed to it so that we can understand more of who God is and what God has done for us every single time that we come here. That's the kind of the driving thing, not just to be a casual listener or a casual reader. And so I want to just ask the question to us here, how intentional are you with the Bible classes that are here at Gettysburg? Like how purposeful are you in trying to understand and trying to learn and trying to grow in those classes? Because we have classes Sunday morning, Wednesday night. We have sermons, two sermons on Sunday. A lot of exposure, a lot of time where we're getting into God's Word and digging through it and talking with one another about those things. And so how intentional are you with that? Do you prepare for that beforehand? Do you seek to know the things that are being presented and really understand them, be able to kind of regurgitate them? Because the teachers that are responsible for those classes put a lot of effort into those classes. So does your effort match the effort of the teachers? I think Jesus would say it needs to. And that's the kind of person that he's looking for, someone that wants to put in the effort to understand and to know. Also, when it comes to our Bible studies and our classes, we need to remember that what we're studying and learning is meant to equip us to do things. And we've already made this point that it's really easy for us to be fruitless, but that's a really scary reality that sometimes in the Scriptures, when we read about people in the Scriptures, the people that were the most fruitless were the people that were the most academically aware of God. Like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they knew a whole lot about God and a whole lot about his law and could probably, you know, quote scriptures really well and things like that. But they were the most fruitless in their encounters with Jesus. And so we need to make sure that that's not us, that we are bearing fruit and that we are using the information that we read to change what we're doing. And so I can speak specifically to like my class and what we're going through in Ephesians on Sunday mornings. What we've read so far, learning about God's grace and his mercy and the spiritual blessings that we've had in him and what he's granted to us in Christ and how we were in a pitiful situation before, but that should really drive us and motivate us to love God more and be thankful and have gratitude and change our lives. And Paul will get into a lot more specific application when we get to the last half of the book. But so far in that class, like, has that changed anything for you in your life or motivated you in any way? And you can just think about that, like going through that class, like, has it done anything for you at all? And if it hasn't, have you been trying to engage yourself in the class and trying to understand and grow from that? Because God's Word is powerful and able to change and penetrate and make differences in our lives if we allow it to. One other area of application I want to just briefly throw out before we start wrapping up this evening is really from Colossians chapter 3. So you can keep your finger in Luke 8. We'll come back in just a minute. But look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Paul talks about singing here in this verse. And this is maybe a familiar verse for us all. But in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, he says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." I think that's something that all of us want to do, right? We all want Christ's word to dwell in us richly and to grow and be really, you know, associated with that. And so, like, how do you do that? Well, he says, teaching and admonishing one another. Okay, great. So if you want God's or Christ's word to dwell in you richly, teach each other, admonish one another. Well, one of the ways that that's accomplished in Colossians 3:16 is in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. One of the ways that we teach one another is by singing with each other. And I've thought about this. I haven't actually ever done this, and I don't expect I ever will because I'm not really a confrontational person in my interactions with people. But in my mind, I'm very confrontational. So I've wondered what would happen if maybe one time, like after a worship service, if I came up to someone here And I said, hey, I just wanted to really thank you for your encouragement that you gave to me. I really appreciated how, you know, you said to me today that you would give up everything for the cause of Jesus, and that you'd count everything as loss for the cause of Jesus. And if they might say, like, I never said that to you. Like, what are you talking about? I didn't say that. I'm like, well, yeah, you did. When we were singing When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, you said that you'll count all things as loss for the cross of Christ. And like, I wonder if like people would know and like remember, like, oh yeah, I did say that to him, without having to be reminded that they just sang that in a song that we sang together. And that's just something to consider and think about and chew on. Like, do you listen well when we're singing with one another? I think that's important because like you're saying the words, so it's important to know what you're saying and mean what you're saying and those kinds of things. But we're also teaching one another and encouraging one another and admonishing one another in the things that we sing together. And again, that's one of those frequent things that we do a whole lot that can just kind of, we can drift in and like, oh, we're singing more songs again. It's time to sing. But just kind of autopilot through it, especially maybe the more familiar songs. Like, I've known Awesome God, the song Awesome God, since I was like 3 years old or whatever, or since I can remember. And it's a very simple tune, very simple words, really powerful words. But like when we sing that song, I can just go on autopilot with that because I remember the tune and just forget what I'm saying when I'm actually admonishing everyone and reminding and encouraging everyone to do. And so we need to be more intentional in what we're saying and what we're listening to in our singing and songs together. Those are just two areas. There are probably a lot more areas that we could apply those principles, but I'll just leave it at that this evening. If you have more you want to talk about with me, I'd be happy to listen to those. But let's start wrapping up this idea back in Luke chapter 8 with this final story that we read, this three-verse short story about Jesus' family coming to him. I get this picture here that Jesus is in this house, in this crowded room, that he's surrounded by a lot of people. There's not easily accessed, and his mom and his brothers show up and they want to talk to him. And I get kind of the picture that like the news of Jesus' family is kind of passing through the crowds, and people are kind of like whispering to each other, hey, Jesus' family is here, Jesus' family is here. And it finally gets to Jesus, and like if I'm sitting there listening to Jesus teaching and I hear, oh, Jesus' mom and brothers are outside, I'm thinking, okay, it's break time. Like Jesus is going to give like preferential treatment to his parents or to his mom and like spend some time with them. And so like we're going on a break for a little bit. But then Jesus says something that if I was sitting there, I think would make me feel so special from what he says, where he stops and says in verse 21, my mother and my brothers are those that hear the word of God and do it. Those that are my family are the people that apply verses 4 through 21 in their lives. And notice that I think what he says here is not just this one-time kind of thing that makes you a part of the family of Jesus. It's not just like you heard once and you listened once or you did once. But the idea of the grammar and how Jesus presents this is like now you are currently hearing God's word and doing it, and you are continuing to hear God's word and do it. And that's a really special thing that Jesus offers, that if you want to be a part of his family, how you listen is one of the ways that that happens. If you are a listener like Jesus wants you to be, one that seeks to listen, seeks to actually hear and comprehend and seeks to understand, and then goes out and bears fruit, that you are just like Jesus' family. And that's how Jesus kind of views us. And that's just a special idea for me to do that. And so in Luke 8, verse 18, he says, take care how you hear. Take care how you listen. I think that's something that we need to constantly be assessing ourselves on in every aspect of how we interact with God's word, whether it's singing to one another, listening to a sermon, being involved in a Bible class, and our prayers with God, that we're really intentional and purposeful of how we are listening and how we are receiving information and communicating with God and with one another, because it makes all the difference. And Jesus says, if you do it well, then you are my family. So I hope that that's encouraging and helpful for us this evening. If anyone needs the help of the church here, maybe you need some better habits in your exposure to God's word and studying and being more intentional and learning how to communicate better in God's word. You know, we can help you with that, study with you and encourage you in that way, or pray with you about that. And so if you need any help this evening, you can come forward and talk to me about that now while we stand and sing this hymn.